Welcome to Zeros. I am Tyler Neville, and we are trying a new format today, a market update, market flash update, where we talk about some current events in the market. And we had a special treat on Friday from Cathie Wood, who appeared on CNBC for about 20 minutes, which seemed a little bizarre to me. And I wanted to get Harris Kupperman's read on the situation. So, Cuppy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I watched that same segment. I don't know. It didn't seem normal.
I wanted to ask you about Bill Huang, who, as you know, has been in the news lately behind Archegos. And Bloomberg reported that he's a backer of yours. And I was just wondering what that meant and how well you know him and whether you've shared investment ideas with him.
I know Bill Huang. I met him actually through a church. We were both advisors to what was called the Financial Services Ministry, younger people going through the financial services industry, especially in New York City. So that was in 2013. So, yes, he did provide the seed for our first four ETFs, and we were very grateful to him.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling like she was reading like a disclosure statement or something like that. It was really funny.
It seemed like the sort of thing your lawyer tells you to do so you have plausible deniability later on in court. Something didn't seem right there.
Yeah, what's your read on the fallout? Like, what was the most, you know, potent thing in that whole interview?
Well, the whole time, I just kept thinking that, you know, you guys, like, 2-3 weeks ago were joking that it should be called Arc Egos, but I just kept thinking it should be Arc Egos, A-R-K-K Egos. They're somehow tied together, and I just don't know how, but there's a lot more there than just getting some ETFs funded.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like the whole, you know, Bill Huang, you know, portrayed himself as a devout Christian. Cathie Wood, the same. They met at church. He seated her, and she took the money basically because she wanted her investment firm to grow. But what's interesting is this was after he was convicted for insider trading. So she must have known, you know, he had sort of a checkered past. But I guess being a good Christian, she accepted anyway. But it's just a funny, you'd think, you know, starting a new investment firm, you probably wouldn't choose that partner in bed. But what's your perception on that?
I don't know. I mean, she's not very good at equity due diligence. So I guess it's just kind of part of her MO. It's all a little odd. I mean, Bill Huang is this odd character too. I mean, how do you get to $20 billion of equity? Like, the whole thing makes no sense. It was a family office that everyone claims it was only his money. But, I mean, he left a successful, you know, hedge fund at Tiger. And I don't know, you leave Tiger with tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions. But he then, in 5 years, 100-baggered it? Like, how is that possible? You have taxes along the way. Like, who 100-baggers anything? It just, somebody didn't smell right about that thing. And then, I mean, if your broker is going to give you unlimited leverage, Viacom?
Yeah. Wow. In GSX, you forget that one too, which I think like 12 short sellers that have really great track records have called GSX an outright fraud as well.
But I understand, like, if you sit there over beers and you're like, look, we can mark this stock up and eventually we're going to squeeze these shorts and they're going to have to cover because they get margin calls and then we'll sell it to them. I can understand that being a strategy. I mean, for a while, it seemed to actually be working for him. But Viacom? Yeah. Like, something doesn't make sense about that. And I don't really know why or what he was trying to do. And clearly, Cathie Wood is somehow deeper in this. I mean, I don't get it. But it's curious because in total, you have like $200 billion of equities swinging around. And the last couple of years were awfully crazy. And I don't think that was all just Robin Hood guys buying two lots of out-of-the-money call options. There's something else happening. And the pieces are starting to fit together a little better.
Yeah, and it seems like the bid in the marketplace is just like kind of dissipating now. And I have a sneaky suspicion that it has to do with, you know, these two, it leads back to the ARKs, the Archegos and ARK Invest. But, you know, that's just a rough suspicion. I'm not, can't peg, there's no real foundation in that.
No, not yet, but I don't know. I've been doing this a long time and I'm pretty good at kind of deducing stuff. And there's more going on here. I mean, look, Kathy hasn't had an up day since Bill Huang blew up. You know, that's a little odd too.
Interesting correlation there for sure. How do you think this all plays out? Knowing, you know, you've been in markets for, you know, 20 plus years. What do you see happening? Did you see this in the tech bubble in 2000? Like, I think when that bid comes out of the market and it turns to outflows, what happens?
Well, if you think back to 2000, you had a couple of these funds. You know, you had Janus 20, you had Munder, you had, you know, Firsthand. You had a couple of these guys. And I could never really say that they colluded, but they all owned the same 20-ish stocks. Whenever there was a hot IPO, you know, they'd all seem to buy it in the IPO. They'd get an oversized allocation, then they buy it in the aftermarket and they kind of walk it up. They get inflows, which let them buy more. And it was this like self-fulfilling process on the way up because they could constrict the floats in these names. Then when the unlocks came, you know, they lost control of the float. And when they lost control of the float, not only did the stocks start dropping, but they started having outflows from their funds, which basically meant they forever lost control of the float. That's why the way down was so fast, because you had these outflows, plus you had these insiders, these tech stocks all dumping, plus, you know, these guys weren't able to buy anymore. The whole thing kind of fell apart. And when you look at ARKK, it had a lot of those same sort of dynamics with, you know, a couple of funds. You know, maybe it was Bill Huang, maybe it's some other guys that haven't been disclosed yet, but they all kind of owned the same sort of stocks. And it was great on the way up, and, you know, it's pretty nasty on the way down.
Yeah, it totally feels like there's a massive divergence. I mean, it's down, let's see, 4% today when we're speaking. It's Monday, and it just, I don't understand what keeps the bid under these things at this point.
I like to joke that ARK is kind of like a Ponzi scheme made up of other Ponzi schemes. And, you know, Ponzi schemes are really interesting because, you know, on the way up, Ponzi schemes, very simple mathematical equation, really. If more capital comes in than goes out, it inflates. If more capital comes out than goes in, it deflates. And Ponzi schemes are just genuinely unstable. You don't have an equilibrium where there's just happy. It's either inflating or deflating. And usually once you hit the peak, the deflation is rapid because a lot of people who own Ponzi schemes kind of accept that it's a Ponzi scheme. They think they'll get out before everyone else. So once you have the first real big pullback, not like a 10% one, but like the first deep pullback, on any bounces, everyone just tries to exit. And a lot of these charts to me look like head and shoulders, or they look like failing rallies that are kind of starting to break down now. But in the end, if more money goes in, it inflates. If more money comes out, it deflates. And, you know, you have ARK that has sort of the same dynamics as, you know, Tesla. And so it's kind of like this multiplier, like the CDO squared that you used to have that blew up all the mortgage banks.
Yeah, it seems very interlaced. And she even owns some of her own ETFs too. So it's, you know, there's lots of overlap there.
What's curious also is that a lot of the same primes that owned, you know, the GSXs and the Viacom, they also owned a surprising number of ARK ETFs. I know it's only been speculated, but I'm kind of curious if Bill Huang had a bunch of ARK ETFs on swap.
Now, that's a question that we'll probably dig for in the next couple months, because I think the smoke is there where the SEC is probably now sniffing around. It sounds like they're understanding the market structure issues and, you know, the right questions are being asked by Gensler now.
But I think with ARK, I mean, the key is to just dial up the share count each day. I mean, they're almost down 10% from the peak share count. So they're getting outflows for the first time really sustained ever. And those sort of sustained outflows will then dent performance. And no one likes a loser. Everyone wants winners. So you're just going to have more selling. It kind of like feeds on itself. Mm. And so I just check the share count every day to kind of get a sense of where these things are and where we are in the cycle. Remember, on the way down, it deflates rapidly, especially because a lot of the companies she owns need access to equity funding to continue their business. Plus, you have insider selling. So the share count's going to always keep growing. So there's no one to absorb those shares. You know, it just goes in the other direction.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you have the commodity inflation on the other end of the spectrum that's probably compressing margins, and you know all the narrative stocks become less narrative-y when you really have oil inflation and food inflation and labor inflation. So it kind of, I don't know, probably compresses the multiples that these are trading at as well.
Right. I mean, we're having a big secular rotation from Ponzi to commodity and basic materials. And, you know, it's been going on really since the day they came out with the vaccine. And it's just been accelerating from here.
Well, Cuppy, thanks for joining us. Let's check back in a month and see how your predictions play out. But we're on the same page. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to see how this plays out. It's a good crime novel.